Hello, Houston. This is Kuma again. Today, I'm at the corner of Pacific and Stanford in Montrose. And behind me is Blur and JR's. But I'm actually walking toward the other direction, towards Taft. And kind of sidewalk is a mess in this area. But I wanted to take you with me to a really, really unique space in Houston. It's actually unique kind of all over. And it, to kind of, when you're coming past, either walking by or driving by, it looks like just another house. And so I'm walking in through the gate at Pacific, at 604 Pacific, and up the stairs. And kind of as you get here, there's a sign, there's a glass door and a little patio on a porch. It says no smoking on the porch. If you come here, you can't smoke on the porch. And opening the door, and I see one of my friends, and I'm going to say hi. Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. The space I am in is the Houston Transgender Community Center. And it is a house, or was at one time, and now it's a community space. And when you walk in, on the walls, there's tons of different material. I'm looking right now at Mary Walker. And there's some old newspaper articles that are up on the wall framed. One is from Sunday, October 17th, 1926. And there's a clipping of it at the lower right-hand corner that says he can change sex of animals. Cynac explains his discovery to Medical Congress in Berlin. And so there's a clipping. There's a newspaper from 1926, another one from 1933. And so besides just being a community center, there's also a historical archive, and everything in the archive is related to transgender history. And so there is one small cabinet that I'm looking at right now that has a matchbook from Dewey's, and a cup from Cooper's Donuts, and an ashtray from Compton's Cafeteria. And those are actually three spaces that are kind of important in transgender history. And that's kind of where there was a kind of a uprising of transgender people who were being discriminated against. And all of these events were actually pre-Stonewall. However, they are kind of lesser known. So I'm walking into the archive room right now, and I see Kristen is here. Hello, Kristen.
Hi, Kuma.
I'm doing an audio walking tour for Houston. Can you explain a little bit about some of the things that you have in the archive and why this archive is important?
Okay, so the Transgender Archive is the only archive actually in the entire world where someone can just walk in and learn about transgender history. And that includes anyone who has violated a cultural gender stereotype, and this includes artifacts from all continents of the world going back several thousand years. And so that includes a small library of books and magazines and newspapers going back to the 1600s, artifacts, statuary, just all kinds of interesting artifacts of people who dared to break gender stereotypes going back centuries.
What are, if we walk around, what can you tell me about, I know I already discussed some of the newspaper clippings that were out in the front. Mm-hmm. Now there's another one right here. Are these the actual newspapers, or are these prints?
Yes, they're all the original newspapers displayed. Anything that, any of the art or statuary, it's original.
Okay. So tell me, I see this photo of a group of guys. Why, it's old, black and white, a bunch of guys just hanging out. Why is this in here?
Well, because all the men in this photo would be considered transgender, that is, that they're dressed as men, Biological Women. This was made January 9th to 1925. They were actually in the midst of breaking lots and lots of stereotypes. They're a bunch of women who are dressed as men, who are smoking
and drinking
alcohol during what I would imagine is Prohibition.
Oh,
and
wow.
One is dressed as a baseball player. So women in sports and just all kinds of...
They even have facial hair, too.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, what can you tell me this painting? I see that it appears to be two women and a baby, so, you know, to me it either looks like... Could be lesbian. What is the story behind this?
Okay, so Marie Poilin was a transgender person in Paris and kind of pioneered this particular style of art. She asserted her gender early on and was allowed to grow up as female until she reached puberty and then had to go into a men's school in Paris. She was in desperate need of finding some medical help for what she felt like was her condition, her medical condition. At the time, Magnus Hirschfeld was in Paris. Magnus Hirschfeld's gender clinic had been destroyed by the Nazis. In fact, that was the very first thing that the Nazis did whenever they came to power on the night of the Long Knives, was to destroy his gender treatment clinic. And he was in Paris, and so this artist sought out Magnus Hirschfeld. Magnus Hirschfeld he was a very old, very sick man. He was in exile. He initially refused to take her on as a client, but she kept on asking. And finally, he decided to begin seeing her, and then he died. And so the only person in the entire world who knew what was going on with her and how to help her had died. And the Nazis had, at that point, destroyed everything that was associated with transgender health and had, by that time, taken all the transgender people off to the death camps. So she decided that she was going to go fight the Nazis and became a captain in the French Dragoons and was captured in war and taken to a Nazi death camp, an internment camp, where she was able to wait out the internment. She survived that and then came back to Paris. And if you can imagine having survived a Nazi death camp, came back to Paris, and of course there was nobody to help her. You know, all that had been taken away by the Nazis. So she decided to live her life authentically. And so she transitioned without the help of any kind of professional or anything, became a successful businesswoman, actually married, and had a family, and was a very, very successful painter. This is one of her original paintings. And she and her wife, they had a child, and so in this picture you see two women with a child. Later in life, she was able to, get hormones and medical help and things. She actually became a Parisian model. She was quite statuesque, and
wow.
She became the rage in fashion and wrote an autobiography. Just an incredible story behind this person's life.
And So I heard you say the name Magnus Hirschfeld, and so I since I've been in here before, I have seen a few things that do have that name on it. There's one picture kind of hidden away back here that says, Dr. Hirschfeld was the grandfather of transgender civil rights, as well as the grandfather of psychological, medical, and surgical care for transgender people. Targeted and persecuted by the Nazis, he died while in exile on May 14th, 1935.
That's correct.
But one of the other things that I recall seeing was a book. I don't see that right now. Do you know where that...
You're probably thinking of the various books we have from...
I believe it was actually in German.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
That Magnus Hirschfeld had published. And the Nazis, didn't actually get hold of it. You know, you've probably seen pictures of Nazis burning books.
Right.
Most of those pictures are of the Nazis burning Magnus Hirschfeld's books.
Right. And so in this one case, I'm seeing stuff from really all over. There's the autobiography of Amy Kamikawa, who is the first transgender kind of politician in Japan.
She had found out that we have an archive here, and she sent her autobiography. Mm-hmm. She autographed it, her business cards and things, and sent it to the archive to be included.
Let's see, there's I don't know whose name that is, actually. Douglas K. Osterhout.
Yes, he's a surgeon that pioneered facial feminization surgery.
Okay. Let's see.
You've got a voodoo doll here.
Is that what that is? Okay.
Yes, that's a voodoo doll. Baron Samedi, who is supposed to guard the crossroads between life and death. He's been featured in movies and such, mm-hmm. but never true to form, because he's very scary character. He has a skull for a head, wears a top hat, and usually a tux coat. And under that, in voodoo, he wears a beautiful dress and high heels, and also carries a purse, and all of his acolytes also cross-dress. So that's a significant portion of voodoo.
Interesting. Okay, so tell me a little bit about what looks like the sarcophagus in the back, because I kind of need to know what that's about.
Okay, so that is a representation of a pharaoh who was actually, whenever she was represented in any of the Egyptian writings, even though she was born female, very much dressed as male. Dressed as male and mm-hmm. addressed as male.
Okay.
And that's not an ancient representation of her, but it's several hundred years old.
Okay. Some of the other things that I did see were, like, Christine Jorgensen material. For people who don't know who Christine Jorgensen is, what can you tell them about her?
Christine Jorgensen was probably the one person who brought transgender issues, specifically transsexual issues, into the public consciousness. She was probably the second high-profile transsexual in America, the first being Heidi Jo Starr. Christine Jorgensen had a movie made out of mm-hmm. her, made about her, books, autobiographies, and just made international news and was high news for years and years and years.
Wow. Okay, and then I see a ornament of some kind from Dr. Suporn, and from Thailand.
Supon.
Okay.
Yes. The Thai culture is actually known for creating these ornamental jars, hand-painted. All of that is hand-painted with gold leafing. And he has had a history of whenever he performs a surgery on someone, at the end of that surgery, he gifts one of his patients with this little jar, actually.
Okay.
And it's one of the things that Thai people or Thai culture is known for.
Okay. And again, there's more items from Cooper's Donuts and Compton's Cafeteria.
Right, and Cooper's was 1958. That was the very first known GLBT uprising in America, led by a group of transgender people who were responding to police oppression. The police would come and harass the trans folk, and, you know, they had a choice. They could either pay off the cops, sexually service the cops, or be taken to jail where they would be raped and beaten. And so they had enough, and they rioted. And so that was the Cooper's Donuts riot. Okay.
And so up above that little cabinet, I'm tons of photos, and these are actual, the real photographs,
yes.
Not... Wow, and so there's lots of cross-dressing. I'm seeing a photo with what the caption says, trans man, F to M, having romantic dance with a lady, mid-1950s. Two trans men playing piggyback for New York Boys Will Be Boys, which is that, was that like a male impersonator show, or?
And let's see, one of my favorites is, let's see if I can find it here.
A lot of them are in black and white. So
yeah. I love
very
this set.
Old.
This is a set of three, and
okay.
It's from the First World War, and here in the first picture you have a male in his everyday street clothes, and then you have the same person dressed as female,
mm-hmm.
and then over here you have the same person dressed in his World War I uniform saluting.
Wow. That's great, actually. And so there's lots of, there's even some that it appears to be mixed company. Here's one color photograph from...
Yeah, GCTC used to be a support group. It was one of the early support groups here in Houston. And what you see here is it's a big kind of Eat at Joe's sign, you know, the front and back placard. It says
so like
GCTC.
The sandwich board.
Yes, it
okay.
says Gulf Coast Transgender Community. And so this transgender person holding a clutch of balloons at one of the pride parades, actually handing
okay.
a balloon to a little kid.
And some of these, they are very, very old. Like, the edges are... Oh, and here's a small note from Renee Richards.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Renee Richards was a transsexual tennis player.
Trying to read what it says. Her handwriting apparently is not that great.
Right. And this was a personal note
okay.
she wrote to someone who was in the Army. And
okay.
it's just saying, you know, it's her support for someone who, in the military.
Okay. Wow. And then tons and tons of books. There's even bigger photographs, another Christine Jorgensen. And I see there's even an autographed still from Boys Don't Cry. So Hilary Swank signed that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and are there... Do you have archives of actual films then here as well?
Yeah, we have films. We have, you know, of course, lots of movies and things, and then actual, you know, 35 millimeter film from various films. And this up here is some actual Roman coins from a transgender Roman
oh, okay.
emperor who, when the army found out that he was searching for a doctor to provide transgender medical care, they summoned him and his mother before them, where first they beheaded his mother before him, then they
Goodness.
Beheaded him and stuck his head on a pike and dragged his naked body through the streets of Rome and then dumped his body into a river.
That's horrible.
Yes, it is.
Oh, God. So, on a happier note, I'm looking at children's books here as
mm-hmm.
well. 10,000 Dresses, Girl, Soldier, and Spy.
Yeah, that's something else. You know, people get up in arms about these children's books, you know, explicitly transgender issues,
mm-hmm.
As if it's something new. So here you have something relatively new, published in the last 10 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And here you have something that was published, let's see.
See where the pages are kind of yellowed and different things.
Let's see. if they have a public, 1959. And so this would have been in a school, so it's Marysville Public Library from Ohio. And so this is the story of Sarah Edmondson, which we actually have her original first edition biography that she herself wrote in our rare book collection.
Wow, and then, so at the bottom it looks like, I'm guessing, magazines.
Yes, tons of magazines.
Some that say miscellaneous, drag, female impersonator. They're kind of written straight up and down, so I'm having a hard time reading them.
There were lots of different types of transgender magazines published everywhere from the late 50s on up through the 90s, really, and just a very eclectic mix of different types of publications.
Wow. And then I see even over here you have a wall of comics, particularly manga or Japanese comics, and more magazines, and on the wall there is
Phyllis Fry,
a little wall dedicated to her. And I'm looking at right now something that is on the top, says Mayor's Office, Houston, Texas.
Yes, that's a copy of the repeal of the Houston Cross-Dressing Ordinance.
And when did this happen? When was the repeal of the Cross-Dressing Ordinance?
It's August 12, 1980.
And what, I guess, when the Cross-Dressing Ordinance was in effect, what did that actually mean?
Well, that meant if you were female and you were wearing pants in Houston and your fly was in the front, you could be legally arrested and taken to jail for that.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. And so was this an used more as a bullying thing, or was it just very kind of...
It targeted largely certainly the transgender population, but also people who the police thought might be gay or lesbian. So maybe dressed a little effeminately, or if a woman, especially at that time, a feminist woman or something like that, was a little too uppity, they would just arrest them for the crime of cross-dressing and throw them into jail.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we've come a long way, too, when you really think about that. Goodness. Because I feel like most women would not think twice to wear a pair of jeans with a fly in the front.
Exactly.
They're cut specifically for women now.
Yes. But at one time, that was an arrestable offense here in Houston.
Goodness.
Before 1980. That's crazy.
Right. So I'm walking through, and I'm seeing lots and lots of... And really, every room has some sort of something on the walls of history. So the archive is not really only in that room.
Yes,
it's kind of all over the space.
That's right. We kind of take a Hard Rock Cafe approach to presenting the historical items.
And so there's even another little enclosed bookcase over here. Is this where some of the other books are?
Yeah, that's some of our rare books, first editions. We've got a book here from the 1700s, another one from the 1700s, several books in German from Magnus Hirschfeld, lots of things signed by the authors, those kinds of things.
Interesting. And so what are some of the things that actually happen in this space? I mean, you have programming, or is it just kind of a hangout space?
It's all of that. We have meetings most days. We have all kinds of activities, everything from self-defense to yoga to 12-step meetings and support groups and workshops and those kinds of things, plus programming like case management, HIV testing, all of those kinds of things.
Interesting. And so if somebody was interested in coming here, would they,
we're open to the public for drop-in. That means you can just come by without an appointment or anything, and just come by every weekday from 1 to 5.
Okay. And I also noticed there is a sign-in sheet.
Mm-hmm.
I signed in as well because I already knew I was supposed to do that. See a statue of Mulan.
That's right. Yes, it's a hand-carved bone statue.
And I'm not sure what this the
Ravel?
Picture is above
Ravel?
It.
He was in the 1800s. He was kind of the Parisian version of RuPaul in
nice.
And this original oil painting was created when he died. It was his death painting, and it memorializes him and his art. And here you see him in one of his male/female costumes.
Wow. See, I'm even learning stuff right now. And so these two paintings right here, there's one of just sailboats. Is the artist trans-identified, or
Wagner,
what's the story behind this?
Wagner was a very, very well-known painter, a Dutch painter, and was the first person to actually have what some would say is the first modern sex reassignment surgery ever, transitioned to, her transition name was Lily Elbe, and she received medical intervention through the Magnus Hirschfeld Clinic.
Okay.
This other painting is a little over a century old, and it's a rendition, it's a painting I can't believe I've forgotten her name. Joan of Arc.
Okay. That's what I was thinking. And
mm-hmm.
This person standing, kind of wearing armor, and has what appears to be a halo over their head.
Yes, yes. And most people don't realize that the reason why Joan of Arc was burned at the stake was for the crime of cross-dressing. That's what she was convicted of and burned at the stake for.
Wow. Well, that's kind of learning some more history, I guess. And so when I walked in, I talked a little bit about seeing these postcards that have Dr. Mary Walker on them. And underneath, there's a little plaque here that says Transgender Medal of Honor Recipient.
Yes. So in this little montage, you have an original photograph of Mary many years before she became involved with the U.S. Army. She's wearing a dress, but under that dress she's also wearing men's pants and men's shoes. She was arrested many, many times later in life for cross-dressing in public. She was a very, very significant figure in the suffragette movement. The is honored in some of these postcards for her fight for women's rights and the right to vote. And it's interesting because you have these U.S. publications. These are published by the U.S. Postal Service, and here you have, you know, they're representing her, you know, as she really was, which is looks very, very male.
Mm-hmm.
But postage stamp is not. It's
right.
Very, very effeminate, very female, very girly, and it's just very interesting.
It doesn't look like the same person.
Right.
Seeing the image on the postcard, the painting of her in a suit, a men's suit, with a top hat and a bow tie and a cane, and she looks very dandy. And then I'm assuming that's a painting also of her on the postage stamp looking like a totally different person.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Yeah. And we have an army base named after her. We have... let's see, we had a military, I believe it was a naval ship named after her
mm-hmm.
in her honor.
And
below that, you
right.
have actually an envelope This was during the Civil War, and on the envelope it says Union, and it was addressed to Mary Walker.
Okay. And on the postcards I see one that says, Dr. Mary Walker, Civil War Surgeon, Medal of Honor winner. On the one underneath it, it says, Dr. Mary Walker, throughout her life she vigorously fought for women's suffrage, dress reform, and prohibition. Let's see. Oh, and on the envelope that says Union, there's a seal that says, the seal of the nation, the arms of the free, shall secession put down and restore unity.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so there's also a Rolodex here underneath of going from one thing to another of resources mm-hmm. for tons of different things.
Whenever people, have some sort of resource they want to share, the community just writes down, they went to this particular doctor or this particular therapist or this particular store or, this particular dentist or mm-hmm. whatever. And so this is where the community can kind of figure out where it's safe, welcoming, and supportive to go.
Okay. And so now I'm going to tell everybody, as you walk in, you'll see there's something that says Houston TFA, which stands for Transgender Foundation of America. So it says Houston TFA Center Rules. And I probably should have read this when I actually walked in. But number one, all illegal activities are banned. Number two, no firearms. Number three, abuse of alcohol is not permitted. Number four, group facilitators will be held responsible for the conduct of group attendees. Number five, visitor of this center will conduct themselves in an adult fashion and will treat the center, center property, and other center visitors with respect. And underneath it says, choosing to disregard the above rules may result in being banned from all TFA property and functions.
Yep, that's right. We want this to be a safe and welcoming space for all.
And it is. And so now I'm going to head back out since did my walking tour. And bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
And I'm on the porch, and she's closing the door. Okay, so that is the TG Center here in Houston. It's a space that, like I said, looks like a house, and most people aren't really aware of what that space is. So now I'm headed back down the street. And I'll talk to you again later.